Okay. We are actively coming upon one of the most auspicious days on the calendar, and that is Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a day of atonement, day of forgiveness. It's sometimes it is actually misunderstood, and I would say it's greatly misunderstood of what teshuva is, of what repentance is, what return is, and all of these concepts are very deep concepts that are found within humanity, are found within Adam. And in fact, it says that Adam was born from the place of where he was atoned, will be atoned from, because he was born on the Temple Mount, right? That's our tradition has it on Jerusalem by right the actual temple where the Mizbeach was, where the altar was. So the place of the altar, right? That right in that place is where his atonement comes from. And we find this dichotomy. We find like this these two contradictions of God creates man, Adam and Chava, man and Adam and Eve. And then there's the mistake, there's the sin, there's the contradiction against it. And then, as if it's a setup, like it's all about forgiveness. And in fact, later on, we have that by the tablets that were there that Moshe brought down from Mount Sinai after the first 40 days. And the people were made the same mistake as you know of bowing down to a foreign entity, to a foreign god. And that's very much the same mistake that was made on the in paradise, where they followed the senses, they followed the external, and they didn't follow what was internal, what was there on the inside. And that mistake was repeated by the sin of the golden calf. So Moshe goes up there and he comes down and he breaks the tablets. And then after 40 days, he goes back up again a second time to atone. And then a third time is three is a charm. Maybe that's where we get it from, that he goes back up on the Elul, on the beginning of the month of Elul. And then 40 days later on Yom Kippur, he comes down with a second tablets. So that Yom Kippur signifies the day of coming back to the inceptional point, coming back where we fix the whole mistake. So what is this mistake, and what is this inceptional point that we're correcting, that we're fixing? And so tshuva, going back to that notion of what teshuva is, of what return is. Tshuva is not just a fixing of a mistake, of something wrong that we do, that we did in the past. Tshuva is not just about that. Tshuva is coming back and assuming who we really are, connecting to who we really are. And our sages explain, what is tshuva? Teshuva is the letters teshuv hei, that the letter hei should return back. Because at the time of the separation, the time of the what we call the sin, the mistake, there is a separation between the letter hey and the rest of the three letters of God's holy name, the yud and the hey and the vav. And then the last letter hey is as if separated. And tshuva is the notion of returning back to wholeness, to wholesomeness, where the yud and the hey and the vav and the hay is rejoined, and then there's the wholesomeness of it all. So what is this letter hay? Tashuv hay. What is the letter hay? Letter hay, our sages tell us, is the letter of the creation of this world. That God created the higher worlds, the upper worlds with a letter yud, right? But olam haba, the Talmud says, and then this world, or the lower worlds, were created with a letter hay. And the Midrash explains, what is this idea of the letter hey? The letter hey is a very interesting looking letter, that it's got a roof on top, and it's got a leg down below it, right? And then it's got a disjointed letter Yud that's there, right? That's there in the bottom. And our sages explain to us that what is this notion of the letter He? That the letter He is that if someone falls from the, you know, falls down and creates a chet, because chet is the same shape as the letter He. It's just long on both sides, and it's got the roof on top. So the chet is the sin, and then it just falls down. The person falls down, and that's the mistake, and it's unfixable. But the letter He is then there's an opening there, and that we go back, and we're able to enter back through the other way, the window, so to speak. And that's the significance of the letter He according to the Talmud. But the Kabbalistic masters and the Hasidic masters explain that the letter He signifies three levels within our persona as humans. And one is thought, that's the roof on top. Speech, that's the leg of it, right? And then action. And the verse says in Isaiah, right? Ani berativ yetzartiv af asitiv, that I have berativ, I've created it. The world of Bria is the world of thoughts, right? Yetzartiv, the world of expression, of yetzirah, is of speech. And then af asitiv, I even created it, that's action. And the realm of action is the most disconnected from the spiritual realm. And on that level, the realm of action is the realm of the body, where seemingly the body is disconnected from its source, from being connected. Obviously, everything is enlivened by Hashem at all times, but it seems like the body is the most distant part of, we could say, of this spiritual ecosystem. We've got our minds, right? Machshava, we've got our speech. So our minds could think lofty thoughts, could think thoughts of Torah, could think, meditate on great ideas. Speech could bring us to great heights as well. But what about action? Action seems disconnected, right? On berativ, yetzartiv. And it says afasitiv, there's a disconnection between the realm of asiya, the realm of the physical action, and the spiritual. And essentially the letter He, tashuv He, is returning, is taking back, reassuming the divinity, the holiness, the incredible potentiality that we have with our body, and receiving on the physical realm, on the material realm, understanding that within the material realm is where God wants to be known. God wants to know us, not just on the spiritual realm, because he's got plenty of angels and very holy souls up there in paradise. God wants us and needs us. It's discussion. What does that mean? God needs us, but God desires to be known in this lower world, in the physical world, within our body. And the realm of tshuva is really reverse engineering who we really are. And I'll just explain that. Because the notion of the sin comes from the body, right? It comes from the over-identification of the sense of the senses. That's the sin of the golden calf, the sin of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and etc. And it's the following of the body. It's the following of the inclination, what we call the Yetzer Hara, the snake, etc. And according to the Zohar, the body is called Mishcha Dechivya. It's called like the cloak of the snake, right? The body, so in most religions, you know, there's the idea that to reach spirituality, we need to devoid ourselves of the body, of anything physical. And anything physical is a contradiction to the spiritual. And that cannot be further than the truth in Judaism. Because God created the world to be within the physical, to be known within the physical world. And he wants to give us all the greatest good in the world. Hashem wants to give us to be mashpia to us, where not just within the spiritual realms, but within the physical realms, in the level of bane, chayim, mizona, on the level of children, of sustenance, of great partners, of like the goodness that life can actually give us, right? But not necessarily the goodness that we think that, you know, that we might find in the movies and in different celebrities or influence. That's the goodness, right? And this is the sifting that we do. And the tshuva is the tshuva of understanding that God wants us to receive the greatest good on earth, to receive it down here within our bodies, to be embodied within God's goodness, his desire down here in this world. And this is really the notion of tshuva. So there's a story of the Alter Rebbe, the Baal HaTanya, that after Rosh Hashanah, he asked his son, who was a great master himself, a great Kabbalist and a great master, he asked him, what was your meditation like? What did you think about on Rosh Hashanah? What were your meditations? So his name was the Mittler Rebbe. He said, well, I was thinking about this realm, this lofty Kabbalistic idea of v'chol koma lefanecha tishtachaveh, that everything bows down to you, including all the highest realms, going all the way up to the level of Adam Kadmon, of the primordial man. And there's a level of nullification of everything to Hashem's malchut in this world, right? That's what he was telling his father. And the Alter Rebbe said, and so he asked his father, well, what did you meditate about? Like, what was your Rosh Hashanah like? So he's like, I meditated with my shtender. The shtender is basically the table that you put your books on, and it's almost like a book. It's a portable kind of place where you put your book on. And you're just basically storing it and you're putting it there. So he told him, I shtender, right? So he said, I meditated on the shtender. Like that's what he told him. And he was wondering, he was like, what does that mean? So he said, my meditation on Rosh Hashanah is how God is here in the physical, how God is literally in the shtender, in this physical, in this physical table, right? He exists here as well, right? He exists here and now, like not just on the lofty levels where we want to go to and et cetera and leave, so to speak, the world, but he exists down here, right here, and right now. And
he's everything.
Exactly. Right here. And this physical, this physical thing is.
In the glasses.
Exactly. So this is a very simple and a very obscure level of getting to. But really all of Yom Kippur and all of Teshuvah is to get us to there, to get us to do Teshuvah and to realize that we could find joy and spiritual delight within the physicality. That physicality and spirituality are not contradictions. And in fact, God intends to be here within the physicality. And he wants to be within the physicality. And we should celebrate it and not just run away from it, right? And so there's two expressions that we know about the angels. They're called Ratzo Vashov, that they go forward from the word Ratz, and Shov, they come back down. And the word Tshuva comes from the word, not just to come back from below to above, that is a level of tshuva, but the real tshuva is to come from above to below, to actually embrace God's blessings and to become a greater receptacle, to be able to receive God's infinity within our seeming limitation.
To accept God's
infinity. Yes, that is tshuva.
Is it bigger tshuva than me from down below working to get him?
From down below is a level of teshuva, which we go to and we work on ourselves towards, right? But really, it's about bringing it down here and down right now.
So you're achieving a place that you meet God's will and
it's about bringing it down. And so Kabbalistically, this is like, it works kind of like this. We have 10 days from Rosh Hashanah until Yom Kippur. They're called the 10 days of repentance. And they correspond to the 10 sefirot. And on Rosh Hashanah, we're basically on the level of Keter, of crown. That's the first day where everything is just included within this metaphysical big bang. And there's the recreation of everything coming back down. And every single day of the subsequent days, there's another sphera which is expressed. So there's a sphera of Chachma, of Bina, of, right, of, and then Chesed, and then Gvura, and Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, until we get to Yom Kippur. And on Yom Kippur is the day of Malchut, of kingship, where there is like the right here and the right now. There's like the practicality where God becomes known and is felt in the physical world. So how do we practically do this? How do we practically do tshuva, right? How do you practically do tshuva? So the Arizal says, he says that anyone that does not cry during these 10 days of tshuva, it means that their soul is not whole. That's what the Arizal says. It's a pretty intense thing to say.
In your soul.
So what does that mean? What does that mean? So it's explained that it's not what we think, that we cry from the wrong things that we do. But it's explained, just like Rabbi Akiva cried, he cried tears of joy. Recognizing the joy, and teshuvah is really finding the joy and the love that we have in our lives, recognizing that we are here to receive that love and that goodness and that infinite goodness in our lives, right? In other words, we're not here to suffer, right? It's a misconception that a lot of people have with, if it's Judaism or it's spirituality, we're here to the truth is we're here to receive God's infinite goodness. And then just the question is, how are we going to do that? And if we're not ready to receive it, then we're going to be tested until we are able to receive it. And that's kind of this why we're challenged. We're challenged in our lives because God wants to give us, and he wants to give us the ultimate goodness. And
so he pushes us all the time to the goodness, and we don't understand, and we're against
and
it.
Until we stop fighting it and are ready to receive the goodness that Hashem wants to give us. So there's so many of us, I mean, including myself, that the notion of ratzo, of going forward, of self-sacrifice, or sometimes overdoing things, right? Or how many of us, overextend ourselves, overgive, right? And it's and it's garbed in a holy way. It's like, or in like in a virtuous way, like, oh, we're doing something good. We're good. But the truth is we're not giving from a place of wholeness. We're giving from a place possibly of being depleted and doing it in order to receive something, some sort of a recognition or some sort of something that we want, that is a lack within us that we're chasing after, that seemingly is outside of us. It could be, you know, it could be in a relationship, it could be financial, it could be emotional, and we're looking towards something else outside of us to have that fulfilled. Whereas what is teshuva? Teshuva is God is going to wants to fulfill us in where we're at now, where we're at. He wants to give us, and learning to be a receiver is sometimes harder than to be a giver, because one could give and you don't have to think about it, or you're doing some things which are outside of you and you're doing them, you're extending, but it could be aimless and mindless. You know, it's an autopilot in a sense. Whereas if we're coming from a place of wholeness, we're coming from a place of receiving, from a place of, again, teshuva, is God has abundance, like infinite abundance. Like the world is an abundant place on all levels. There is goodness, there is love, there is financial abundance, there's joy, there's, right? You don't have to believe what's in the news all the time, right? Or don't listen to the news, right? There is that sense of abundance. And are we able to receive it? And that abundance, where is it felt? Or where is it at? It's not outside of us where we keep on looking for it. It's inside of us, right? That abundance is inside of us. And that's what the Arizal means. Someone that doesn't cry tears of joy, we know that perhaps their tshuva is not a full tshuva, because what is tears of joy? Tears of joy are like, wow, I'm giddy with joy. Thank you, Hashem. I am so happy that you are giving me, like, I am so overjoyed by all of this. Well, during the 10 days of tshuva, that's what he says. If we're all, like, you know, not there, right? Because he says their neshama is whole. That's the saying. A little bit, yes, of course, and a lot, yes, you know, and it's something that we're working on. But you know, just knowing about what, you know, what tshuva is, and it's not how wrong I'm doing or what how many times I'm beating myself on the chest for what I've done, you know, wrong. It's how much am I connecting to my Father, to Hashem in heaven, and how good does it feel to have that presence reside within me?
I tried today and I didn't know why. For a little minute, you know, when I said, what? Now you explain me that my heart is with joy without me knowing it by brain at all.
Yeah.
It's something else. It's the divine soul crying.
It's the divine soul, 100%. Avigail?
Can you connect this with Adam and Eve, with Adam and Chava, there's the sin?
Absolutely. So God created paradise, created man, created the world because he wanted to give us the greatest good possible. But what is the greatest good possible? It's not the material per se. It's him. But him, he's found everywhere. He's not just found in the spiritual. And he wants us to find him within the material, within, again, that letter A and the physical, it looks like there's a disconnect between the physical and the spiritual. That's why it's easier to be more spiritual than to be spiritual in the physicality, sort of, right? Whereas in Judaism, like, we really emphasize this notion of, you know, it's not about not getting married. It's not about staying in you know, as a monk or somewhere up there and hiding from the materialism and anything like that. But it's not embracing the materialism, right? It's not overusing the physicality or the material, but realizing the material, that the physical is the realm where God wants to reside within, that he wants us to know him within this realm, him within this realm. In other words, but here we have our whole, we could say our whole mix up, our whole, like, we're all mixed up with our associations, with our minds, with our memories of what things are, and which is our animal soul, which is all mixed up in it. And it's coming to a place of purity, coming to a place of now let's become pure with the physical, right? Understanding that the physical and the spiritual are not contradictions. So I'd like to share a beautiful teaching that I saw this week by the Kli Yakar, that he says about the notion of the story of Abraham, of Avraham, of going to the Hara Moriah, to the Temple Mount, the place of the creation of Adam, right? And again, that place is where Isaac, that same place, that same location where Adam was born, right? Abraham brought Isaac, right? That's the same place.
To be reborn.
It's exactly. So it's a beautiful teaching. It says, so Avram was going to bring up Yitzchak, and the Malach, the angel, calls up from heaven and he says, don't do it. And so Avram opens up his eyes and he saw a ram, an ayil. Vayar ayil nechaz bekarnav basvach ben aitzim. That he saw a ram getting caught up with his horns, right, within the bushes of the trees. So the Kli Yakar, who was a student of the Maharal, he says like this. He says, what's going on over here in the story? And he says that, what's this tree going on? So he says, this tree is the tree of good and bad. That it's a tree of good and bad. And what happened to man, basically, Ayil is also another way or another expression for strength, and it's also an expression for like a male, right? An ayil is like a ram, you know, has this va'ay, so it's really referring to Adam. Vayar ayil nechaz basvach bekarnav. He's stuck within the tree, meaning he's stuck with confusion, with good and bad and this and that. Everything he's mixed up. So he's got this, you know, these over associations, addictions with the physicality. And God is like, we're not looking for this. We're not looking for you to get mixed up. I want to give you all the goodness, but don't do it in a mixed up way. I want you to have money. I want you to have love. I want you to have happiness, but don't hoard it and don't misuse it. I'm giving it to you because I love you and I want you to know it's from me. So what happens over there? So Avram takes the horn, right? And he uses it as the shofar. And he uses it as the shofar. The shofar is this notion of now wrestling away from the limitation that Avraham had, limitation that Adam had, that Adam was stuck, again, stuck, nechaz basvach bekarnav, he's stuck within the tree, he's stuck within the Eitz HaDa'at Tov V'Ra, within the physicality, And now he's now going to be freed. How is he freed? So the idea is the blowing of the shofar, which is teshuvah, which is return. The blowing of the shofar is return, the Rambam says, the Maimonides says, that when we blow the shofar, we're reminded, wake up, shuvu banim shovavim. Like you are a shovav. Shovav is like you're a little like wild, you know, kid. But basically, that's what we are. And when we look at ourselves as like we're a child. And we have this like child, a ben yakir li Ephraim, yelet shashuim, like like, why do we over-identify with stuff and we make the mistakes? It's not because of anything. It's that inner child inside of us that's basically saying, you know, crying and saying, I'm not heard. I'm not given something. And I want to now overuse something because that's going to soothe me. That's going to give me something. And Hashem gives Adam, or Avraham, rather, this lesson of basically it's all within teshuva, that when we return and we realize where things are at, again, there's the teshuva from below to above. We made mistakes. We have to own up to it. That's a lower level of teshuva, and that is a teshuva, right? But then the higher level teshuva, it's called teshuva ila'a, higher form of teshuva, is the form of now drawing down this joy. And that's why the letters for Teshuvah, Teshuv, is Shabbat. And we have this Shabbat coming up called Shabbat Shuvah. We have the level of called Shabbat Shuvah. What is Shabbat Shuvah? That we return and we basically do Tshuva. How do we do Tshuva? We do Tshuva by rejoicing, by having fun, by having joy with everyone around us, with our families, with our communities, with whoever it is, we're happy. Because joy is tshuva. Yeah. Without tshuva, we don't have joy. We don't have tshuva if we don't have joy. It's like simcha is the only way to really draw it down. And so what do we do now? What do we do now? Now, this time over here, the 10 days of tshuva, is a time to really draw down how to meditate upon how much God loves us, how much God wants to give to us. Am I a proper vessel to receive that goodness? Right? Do I have my self-limiting beliefs? And of course, if I did things that are wrong, I need to correct them. Between me and my fellow man, right? I need to correct them. I need to correct if I did something wrong, you know, on a financial level to someone. If I hurt someone's feelings, if I did something, it's a time to like make amends, to let go, to forgive, to forget. And then once I do that, then we're open to now receive what Hashem wants to give us.
Wow, what a present.
It's, yeah, Vigal.
So would you say then that the sin of the fruit, taking the fruit of the tree of good and evil, is that Adam is separating that God's presence within the physicality, seeing there's the physical and the spiritual? Is that what that's really about?
Exactly. Where we make the correction of,
all right,
of af asitiv. Like we make the correction and we're like, no, physicality is not disconnected from spirituality. Physicality is spirituality. Oh, right. It's embodied. And in fact, God wants to be known where? Right here, right now, within, and he is known right here, right now. And the question is, do we see that and do we appreciate it? Do we take it in? Because we have abundance, absolute abundance all the time. If we choose to really receive it and not live within our minds all the time of thinking I don't have, And what do I need in order to get it? And I need to do this. That doesn't mean that we don't have to take proactive measures, right? It doesn't mean that, but it means that all the mitzvot, by the way, are all physical. They're all physical. Like even the belief in Hashem, okay, like we have to, it's, or love or awe, like those are emotional or spiritual. They still exist within our minds or within our hearts. So there's like a connection that we have. Everything is physical. Like all the mitzvot are physical in Judaism, right? In Torah. Because it's not just like, oh, I'm not going to be physical. I'm just going to do the spiritual. The notion is that no, God is here, and we embrace it. One of the rebbes of the Ger dynasty, the Imre Emes, he said halavai, it should be like the will of you know everyone that you know we should embrace basically that on Yom Kippur, not just think about like how wrong and how bad or whatever it is we did and the etc. Because that's focusing on being in the mud, right? On Yom Kippur, it's like realize like how incredibly good and how incredibly blessed, you know, we are. And that should be the focus. And that should be the joy. So on Yom Kippur, we actually do not eat, but it says, L'chayotam bara'av. We actually get sustenance from fasting. Like we actually feel as if we ate by not eating. That's the expression. And it's a very deep thing that we fast, we don't eat. So in other fasts, you could fast and you know you're hungry and fasting happens to be kind of good for you, but the fast of Yom Kippur is a fast that it actually gives us life. It's as if we're eating, like we're not eating. But we're eating spirituality, like we're eating, we're consuming godliness, the essence, right? And this is the whole motif. This is the whole thing of Yom Kippur. We're separating, so to speak, from the physical, but everything is physical. But we're saying, like, let's separate from our notion of what we think physical is to receive the real spiritual, physical notion. And at the end of Yom Kippur, what do we say? At Ni'ila prayer, Hashem Hu Elokim, Yudke Vavke, that is above nature, is Elokim, is within nature. Seven times, we affirm it. So until we get it into our mind, right? We make it like kapish, you know, like you kind of get it, Hashem Hu Elokim, like seven times. You know, like your dishes there, that's godliness also. You know, the stairs that you have to take and to walk wherever you're going to be going to, that's godliness, you know, that's godliness. God is found everywhere within the physicality, not just in the spirituality, not just out there. It's right here. Michal?
Thanks. So can you just clarify again then that thought and speech is still physical? And I did hear... Rabbi Cohen, I heard you saying that like thought and speech could be thought of as just something holy and action not. So is that why there's the separation? But in general, the hay is all action. It is the thought, right? And the speech and the action.
Yes.
So what am I missing here? What am I? I'm confused. Like it's all action. I mean, it's all of the physical thought and speech and action. So why are we focusing on that little yet?
So the letter hey itself is we could say the proactive mechanism that the Gemara says in Brachos that God created the world with the letter hey. And so that creation, right? It's there's different ways of doing that. So God thought of it and it became created, right? God spoke it, Baruch Shamar Vaya Olam. Right. And then there's the notion of action. But in the way it says, we know that God's, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and that my ways are not your ways. Right. It's the verse says in Isaiah. So all of this is an analogy for basically creation. God's creation comes from, I mean, really came from the thought. God desired to be a world, right? Baruch Shamar, that level of speech is really a level of thought, right? It's chapter 19 in Tanya, if you want to go and go deeper into that idea. And then 21 as well. 21. Yeah, it's more. And yet by us, so there's no disconnection between God's thought, speech, and action. In other words, right? That God's thoughts are constantly streaming, right? God's speech is constantly streaming all the time. Like there is no separation. And God's actions are always recreating all the time, right? So it's by man, we have how many thoughts a day? We have 60,000 thoughts at least a day, they say, right? Da-da-da, and they're like ping pongs all over the place. We don't know what we thought about 5 minutes ago, right? A minute ago, I mean, right? And then what do we say? I don't know what I said an hour ago. What is I said that, you know? We're disconnected from what we think and what we say, and action as well. Whoops, I did that, you know, or I did. In other words, our creative process is different than God's creative process. But within our creative process, thought and speech are more spiritual by us, but action is less spiritual. So that realm of, but by God, it's not the same, right? God creates everything. And he creates everything. We could call it thought. We could call it speech. We could call it action. It doesn't matter how we refer to it. But by him, it's all the same because he's intertwined. He's still within connection, within nature, within creation. He's not disconnected from it. Whereas a craftsman makes a table and that's it. He moves away from the table. That's it. You don't know who created the table, right? Who the craftsman is. But by God, God has created it and is creating it all the time. So the analogy of the letter hey, for us, that it refers to, it's hardest for us to find God within the physical because we think, because it's abstruse, it's condensed. It's for us, it seems not spiritual, right? To find, you know, godliness within the physical. However, the whole truth is that that's why God created the world, so that we actually realize that he created it all and he's not separated from it and he's within the physical and it's our perception which is messed up, not the material, not God's perception. He created it and it's amazing. It's still connected to, right, to him at all times, but we're disconnected because we need to do tshuva. Why? Because we've got af asitiv, right? We've got that letter hey that seems like it's like that like it's disconnected. Why? Because of our need to just go back and do tshuva and basically recreate ourselves and our relationship with the physicality, with the physical world, and recognizing it's not my boss, it's not my, you know, my grandparents that did this for me. It's God that's giving it to me all the time. It's God that's taking care of me all the time. It's Hashem. It's you. It's not my boss that's giving me my paycheck. But we're like, no, what happened? What would happen if I take off from work here and I don't do that? And we have to do what we have to do, but it's like, it's afasitiv because we think that there's a disconnect, but no, God is found within the physical world, right? Is found within this, in the here and now.
Like, so you're saying that the shape I mean, obviously you're saying it. So you're saying the shape really is a wake-up call that what we think is disparate is really just a human perspective, and that really all of physicality, our mind, thought, and action really has the potential to all be unified, Tasham.
Yes, that's the whole purpose. Teshuva is Teshuva Hey, that the letter A should come back and assume her beautiful majesty, right? Which is Malchut, which is kingship. That Malchut, this is the whole thing. It's called Binyan Malchut, according to the Arizal, that we're fixing, that we're building the Malchut. We're building it up. What are we doing? The Malchut seems like it's separated, right? Because you're only holy when you're doing this and this and the other thing. Whereas, like, actually, you're pretty amazing when you are also present with Hashem in the material. Mark?
Yeah, thank you. Can we extend that concept of physicality that Hashem or is in the physicality to within us? Can I say that,
yeah, of course,
I am one with Hashem in loving kindness, and I become the loving kindness, and He is within me? Can I do that?
Absolutely, that's the point. But the point is more to feel it, to really feel it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the tshuva, when we feel it. And again, the Arizal says that when we feel it, that joy, then our soul is whole. When we feel like I'm not, and I've got this lack, I've got this, you know, I've got this chip on my shoulder because of what happened, you know, 30 years ago, and what this and that and the whole and the other thing, as opposed to like, I've let it go. And I am now loving kindness, like you're saying so beautifully, right? To really assume that loving kindness, that abundance, right? And not just ask for it from other places, but being that, right? To actually embracing that. And it's really embracing a new narrative, you know, for ourselves. You know, we're really embracing a new way of what are we really saying to ourselves, right? Are we saying to ourselves, you know, we've got this, you know, this ongoing programming that's there very deep in our subconscious, that saying no, and, you know, you can't, and the other thing, versus the majesty of that letter Hey of Afasitiv, is embracing that realm of Malchut, of kingship, of the receiver, of recognizing that no, I am worthy. I am worthy to receive, right? Right? Worthy, and God wants to give me and wants me to know that I'm worthy to receive that.
I understood today that Hashem has so much rachamim on us.
So much compassion, so much mercy.
His rachamim is
exactly
more than everything else.
We can't, we exactly. We,
something that we cannot imagine.
God has so much compassion, right? Over us that we can't even like fathom it. Like, we are harsh on ourselves. According to the Baal Shem Tov, you know, we draw down limitations on ourselves. He calls it dinim, God forbid. We do that. We draw it upon ourselves when we think, you know, I'm this and I'm that, and I did this and I did that. Okay, made a mistake. Forward, like, let's go, like, go on. You know, there's, I forgot which Rebbe said this. It's brought down, but like after Yom Kippur, you know, we pray the evening prayer called Ma'ariv, the evening prayer. And over there we say, Slach lanu, again, God, forgive us for what we did, right? After a whole day of Yom Kippur, we're asking God to forgive us. Like, well, hello? Like, what are you talking about? Like, you just came from Ne'ilah, and like, now you're saying, forgive me. What could have already happened between the end of Ne'ilah and, you know, there's literally 2 seconds there. what's going on? So beautiful teaching. I forgot which Rebbe said this. I think it was the Rishner. So he says that, why are we asking God to forgive us? Because we don't believe that God really forgave us. We're asking forgiveness because we don't believe that God really forgave us.
We still doubt it, huh?
We still doubt it.
But and Hashem is forgiving us. He gave Yom Kippur in order to forgive us.
Right, but we need to believe.
I heard today, he gave Yom Kippur in order to forgive us. Don't doubt it.
Exactly. Exactly. And don't doubt it. And we need to know that. So let's lean in. Let's focus in on that level, right? That level of simcha, of wholeness, of abundance, of joy, of how much goodness we are waiting, right? We are going to receive this year, right? And to envision it and to feel it, right, within our bodies, right? To literally feel this goodness. This year I am going to get married, right? This year I am going to have this year I'm going to receive, I'm going to get that job, or this year my child is going to have this. And to feel that truth, to lean into it, to actually feel Hashem's goodness already giving it to us now, right? So that's a great way of like really just setting these intentions in the right place for this entire year, because that's what these 10 days are about. They're about just taking so much potential in these days and drawing it down to the whole year. So doing that out of joy, out of love, out of trust, out of love that we're sure, God is good. And he wants to give us good, and that abundance is there.
I'm seeking for the good, that's so good.
Yes.
That's also like from Likutei Moharan, that when you are looking for the good in the other person, you start your heart starting having a good.
Yes.
You know this?
And beautiful.
This is where I saw this heart now.
Yeah.
The heart not having any good.
Cindy? Yeah, that's a beautiful picture.
Hi. I'm still a big... Oh, that is beautiful.
I'm sorry.
I'm still a bit confused. On Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, we talk about who shall live and who shall die, who by fire, who by water. Really, right. There's this, at least in human terms, really harsh, judgmental, painful, scary, fearful prayer that we're saying, and yet everything you're saying is just totally loving, and it just seems total opposite. I don't know how to jive those two together.
Right. So that's a great question. Thank you for asking that. And you know what? Yeah, like on Yom Kippur, and I think about this every single year, and just this year, really, I had the same feeling as you, Cindy. Reading the Natan, it's called the Natana Tokif, right? It's a famous Leonard Cohen, right? Song, right? Who shall live? No, it's not short, but it's very intense. It's very, very intense. And so how do we jive the two? So I will say that there are different traditions, such as the Sephardic tradition. Actually, the Yom Kippur prayer is very much joyous, right? There's a lot of joy. Like we're like, they sing and they're like, things are, we sinned in front of you, but we're happy, and actually we kind of do that also in the Ashkenaz tradition. But the Natana Tokef, and specifically that is there, I and I was thinking about this, that within the, we could say, the psychology of, I guess, the way the Machzor was built, the way it was composed years ago, that traditionally Ashkenazi Jewry, right, are much more, I would say, like, cold, you know, and much more traditionally and like coming from a place of joy. It's like coming from a place of fear, something that's going to, like, you know, spark, you know, people to do things. And so that has very much been like the theme for years, and it's a holy prayer, and it's, again, it's within the Machzor, written by Rabbi Amnon of Megenza, and there's a lot of intensity there. But at the same time, I think that we don't have to get stuck within that fear. Like, yes, there, okay, so if I kind of like get the point, and I'm like, yes, it is intense, you know, and it's about me like refocusing and reorienting myself, and if you kind of like know it, so then like it's about joy, like really, like God wants to give us good, and Melech Chafetz B'Chaim, we say this, the God that desires life, right? He wants to give us life, right? He wants to give us, what is life? Like Kotveinu Sefer HaChaim, the book of life, and life includes like all life, including this physical world and everything that is included within it. So it's sort of just getting the point of, okay, I want to get on track. Like, I think that's the purpose of those intense sections of the prayer, if that makes sense.
It does. Thank you.
Yeah. But it's much, much better and much more connecting. And I think that if this type of a Yom Kippur service it was shared in so many more synagogues, like this notion, right, that this is what it's about. It's not about the annual fundraiser. And it's not about like the, you know, the how bad we are. It's about how much God really loves us. Yes, but we have to, you know, we first have to get a little bit in shape there, but then realize like there's so much joy that we need to connect to. And I would say, like, you know, if you would visit some of the places that I, you know, pray in, and it's, I mean, you would see like absolute like joy. You would think like there is like, you know, that there it's in the middle of I don't know, like a wedding or a race. It's like there's so much intense joy.
Yeah.
YTD, AQM. Yeah. Abigail?
I was thinking about, that's a really good point, Cindy. And what I was thinking about in terms of what you were saying is that we know that life is finite and it has its challenges. So don't waste the moment to exactly. Be happy within it. And that's hard. It's really hard when things are, you know, you're struck by illness and all these physical challenges, because it is. And, you know, Reb Nachman said, God loves a broken heart.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's beautiful. Exactly. Like, we have an opportunity to be happy, right? And to focus on that, to focus on the joy, right, and on what we have, which again is also a conduit to receive every, you know, so much more beyond that, as we mentioned last week, you know, power of joy / gratitude brings about so much more of that in our lives, right? Which then brings us to the next holiday, which is Sukkot, which is a whole holiday of really festivity, but that festivity really starts, like, really at the beginning. It's like all about like teshuva, and it's about like, right. And we'll speak about that, you know, when Sukkot happens. So for now, so wishing us all like a gemar chatima tova or ktiva chatima tova, like to continue like written, like more good things could be written and sealed for good and happiness and everything that we desire for the good should come down for us in a beautiful way this year, in a way of abundance, a way of gevura, and a way of good for everyone, for all of our families, and for the whole world. A year of Mashiach, God willing. Yeah. All right, everyone.
Thank you.
Shana Tova.
Blessings, everyone. Shana Tova. Shana Tova.